Now, you're very welcome to the show tonight. I hope I find you well on this Wednesday evening. I'm delighted to say that my guest this week on Stand Out with me, Ian O'Connell, is Tim Moynihan. Tim is a man of many different talents. Most of you know Tim as the voice of Radio Kerry on game day when he's commentating on the Kerry football games, and hopefully this interview gives you more of an idea of what else Tim has done throughout his life. Sit back and enjoy the show.
There's 76 minutes gone here in Croke Park. Wherever you are, listen throughout the world. This kick could decide whether Kerry are in an All-Ireland final or not in normal time.
Hill 16 is erupt.
Oh, Hill 16. It's blue. They're shouting. There's foghorns. There's every sort of thing up there.
Johnny O'Shea.
Oh, can Johnny quieten the hill? It's hard to quieten the hill, says he. Now, Johnny O'Shea, steadying himself on the run-up, strikes the ball, hits it with all his heart. Where does it go? It's over!
It's over!
It's over! Oh, it's over! The game is over! Kerry are in an All-Ireland final!
It's over!
It's over! Let's go! Kerry are in it! Oh, you fire! Amherst, we did it! Up in there! We're in an All-Ireland final, Amherst!
The answer was... Could Johnny O'Shea do what Stephen Coxon does?
Oh.
And the answer is yes.
Yes, he can. Yes, we can. Obama said, can we do it? We can. Yes, we can. Kerry are in All-Ireland final. Kerry 114. Dublin 113, Ambrose.
Absolutely. Breathtaking stuff. A credit to both sides. But what a pair Sean O'Shea is. That was a difficult kick. Into the breeze, into the air. And then he split the upright.
Look at Paddy Andrews. Paddy Andrews is behind me here, and he's in a state of flux. He doesn't know what's happening, Ambrose. The delight. It was an epic, and my voice is gone, Ambrose.
Tim, thanks a million for coming in today. Really appreciate it. I am
delighted to be here, Ian.
I think it's an all better week to have it than All-Ireland final week.
Yeah, absolutely, Ian. First of all, we're recording this programme and the sun is shining, probably one of the hottest days in living memory in our country, and a great buzz and around our county at the moment. Anywhere you drive, Ian, the flags are out. And look, players today, this is what you dream of, building up to an likewise supporters. And I suppose you heard it from the commentary and heard it from everywhere else that Kerry to just get into an All-Ireland final, it just lifts the county. And
absolutely,
we're after a tough couple of years, Ian, so we'll take that.
Hopefully we're climbing up the steps of the Hogan. Do you want to give me a quick background on you when you were younger? Were you mad into football back then? Was it always a big part of your life?
Yeah, absolutely, Ian. Well, my father would have played a bit of rugby. He's two, probably unique, one of the very few Kerry men that has two Munster Junior Cups. He won them with Abbey Field in West Limerick at the time, with some very good players as well. But look, when I started school in Castle Island and likewise involved with Knocknagoshal, you know, this Kerry thing was always, you know, built into us. And I was reared by my grandparents, and I suppose I was spoiled. I was the only young man in the house, so it was me and my football, because probably the closest I was to any house where they had children of the same age was a mile away. So I always had an old ball and belting it up against the gable and calling myself Mikey Sheehy or Jack O'Shea, and maybe trying the odd bits of commentary as well. So look, from a very early age, and I remember that time I'd come to Tralee with my grandmother, God rest her, and I'd be mad to go into wanting to go in to see where Mikey Sheehy worked, because he was the guy I saw on the television the day before winning All-Ireland. So look, from a very young age, and you know, it's captivating, and it didn't start yesterday. It started a long time ago.
Very good. What does I always kind of like to bring it back to people. What does family mean to you? Like, I know your daughter, and you've two.
Yeah, I've two girls.
Grace and Kira.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Grace and Kira, and my wife Deirdre. She's her maiden name is Lamb. She's Deirdre Lamb from Dingle. Look. You know, I was only talking to a man the other night. He's 4 or 5 All-Ireland medals. We're good friends. And that's the one good thing. And I'm not going off on another tangent, that I have a great rapport with guys that played in the 70s. I'd be good friends now with Tommy Doyle. He phones once a week or sometimes maybe twice, looking for what's happening in Kerry, Tim. And he was one of the bravest warriors I've ever, you know, seen wear a Kerry jersey. But family, look, recently I was speaking to a guy. Would he take on this... managerial thing with a county. And he was asking what I think. Somebody from the outside, and I always say that, you know, say if you take on a manager of a team, Ian, that, you know, you can be replaced, but you have a family that can be replaced. And I see myself over the years, Ian, that I was pulled into things. I have this habit of I can't say no. And, you know, I've gone to things at times, maybe sacrificed occasions, maybe purely for the love of football, the love of sport. And I could be at worse things. But you go back in that door after, be it a function, emceeing at a function or whatever, you go back to your family. But look, I've two girls and I've a wife, and that's my world. It's for them there. Even the good days and the bad days, they're always there for you, and no different to yourself, Ian. And you know that in your time of need, and we all go through life where we need that support, but you know, you have to have that priority. I know I've often been get a bit of a slagging at home saying that it's football first and family, but that's purely because there's something on and I'm saying I want to go to it. But at the end of the day, and I think my two girls and my wife and family in general know that you know, they come first, you know.
And like you said, they can't be replaced, and it's, you know, that's so true. And in one way, I always kind of say, at times, football is family. Even like you see there during COVID and everything, the football, even in my case, when I had my accident, they rallied around me. Teams up in Dublin, Galway, they all came together. Do you think that it is fair to say that football is kind of a big family? I know there's rivalry on the pitch, but off the pitch there's always greatness as well among teams.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you know where that is seen as well, Ian, that, you know, tragedy, the time that Mickey Hart lost his daughter, the amount of Kerry people that went up there, and, you know, Kerry great rivals with Tyrone, but all that is cast aside then, and that's what it's for. And like your own situation, Ian, and you know, a lot of people, you know, that say Ian O'Connell and your accident, you happen, but you have experienced, Ian, in the last number of years, and I know it myself, something that nobody else will, and you learn a lot about yourself.
Absolutely.
And learn a lot about people. But at the end of the day, football, and you're absolutely right that football is a family as well. And you can see, if there's, and we don't want any tragedy, but when we see things that do happen, accidents or a sudden death, the GAA community rallies together, and that definitely helps families, help people to get through scenario. And it doesn't have to be actual death. It's purely, you know, a lot of people feel down for different reasons, and we see a lot, and it's been highlighted in, and I'm sure it's in the GAA world as well, that nowadays with depression, it's a huge thing, and that mental challenge for people, and it's getting harder and harder. And you know that if you can talk to somebody, and I know that's probably overused as well, but you know, just to be there for somebody, you can't put a price on that, Ian. And I think, you know, COVID has given us, I suppose, that opportunity to check in with ourselves and see. You know, it's a rat race out there. We're running from one place. It's happened myself. I go do my normal day's work, then I'm going off doing something else. And it definitely took away that time that you had to be running places and give you time checking, why am I here? Or what do I do? How can I appreciate what I have around? And you just said it there. It actually gave you time to appreciate family, because you spent a lot more time with your kids were back from college. I had a daughter. She spent almost a year and a half online, and she's in Mary Eyen in Limerick. And I suppose if she was going to college, we wouldn't have spent that much time with her. And I suppose there was a time to get close to one another as well. And that opportunity, when they go away and they get married, you don't get that. And, you know, that, and we should put a value on that, I suppose.
Absolutely. Like you said, she was online and stuff, and all that comes back to family. And before we went on here, we were talking that you were in retail for a while, and you trained as a carer, like we were saying. Do you want to touch on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a huge connection with Garvey Supervalue. I worked with, almost 15 years. I was in different shops, Listowel, Castle Island, and for the most part, Tralee. I had a huge grow for the Tralee shop, because they're such great characters in the town of Tralee. And
they have a big connection to the GAA.
Absolutely. You know, you have the rivalry of Austin Stacks, Cairns O'Reilly, and Nagail is there, John Mitchell's is there, and then the surrounding areas as well. It's a brilliant place to work, and I still have a huge connection with that. Look, I was doing, as you know, I was presenting Terrace Talk right up until COVID, you know, introduced itself to us. I was 4 years doing that, following the great late Wishy, and that was a chance of a lifetime for me. And you know, it was a huge opportunity, and I suppose a seat to fill. But as you said, then I suppose come COVID. I always wanted to, you know, I mentioned there. My grandparents, I you know, I suppose if you live with people of we'd say an older age group, Ian, they'd be very humble, and they put a value on everything, because yeah. They grew up at a time, Ian, from, you know, in the I suppose the 20s, 30s, where it was hard to survive, and they tell you those stories, and you know the stories.
Joe McGill here, actually, to say, Joe McGill, when he was teaching us the course, a thing he told me is. He was talking to someone, and it was the quote, "When an old person dies, a library burns." Correct. And they build up so much knowledge over the years.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're one-liners, and, you know, they mightn't say much at time, but when they said something, it kind of struck a chord, and you listen. And, you know, you'd love to have a tape recorder, at the time to do. And like you say, when they go, history goes with it. But if you can continue that legacy and bring the values, you know, forward, that helps. And that's as your question was, that healthcare assistant, I suppose a couple of years ago I wanted to do this, and because I have two brothers working in the UHK, and I said, and I'd always hear them and how caring they were and how rewarding their job is, and I said, would that be me? Because I was always in the private sector, and I was dependent on the customer to come in and what have you. But I said this was an opportunity. So I went off and I did, in Kerry College, I did the course. And unfortunately, I was only able to do 3 months to Dinny Street. And then I was online and I had to be creative. I had to back to education. And do you know what? It filled that block where I had the opportunity. And as the course went by, and some great people involved in Kerry College, and there was nurses there. There were people that, you know, had bags of experience, and great people in the class as well. So unfortunately, we didn't have that face-to-face thing. But then it was through Zoom, and I went off. I did the exams, did okay in the exams, and I applied for the HSE and the interview. Hopefully, well, it looks like it went all right, and I got the opportunity. So I'm almost 12 months now in that job, and I'm enjoying it. Look, it's hugely rewarding, Ian. I go into people each morning, and if they're in a better place when I leave, that's a great feeling. And I know I probably said it to you off here, but a man once said to me that he, you know, if you do something for somebody does something for you, even you're happy, but you're much happier, you know, when you do something for somebody else. And they're amazing people, and you know, the reward is they can give you something by saying something to you, or they can go back in history and tell you a story. And yeah. I know one particular gentleman, and I wouldn't have a note in my head, by the way, I can't sing, I do plenty of shouting about football, but I'd be, you know, administering personal care, and yeah. I'd be humming away with my own little song, Cecilia, and the gentleman would say to me anyway, give me a man that can sing in the morning, and give me a man that can listen to him. So I said, there your laugh was, and it creates, and you know what, it's all about building up trust, Ian, with those people. Yeah, absolutely.
And like you said, it's such a rewarding job, you know, when you know that you are helping people. Do you think that we do enough as a society in Kerry for elderly people?
Well, I'll be genuine, and it isn't because I'm speaking to our Kerry listenership. Right? There's great people in our county, but you know, it's like everything else that we can, and there's brilliant people out there, people that we'll never actually hear about, Ian, that go down to neighbours, they're the company, that's what they need. And this has been the story, and especially during COVID, Ian, that, yeah. You know, that was, it was a very, it was lonely forever. Even I live here in the town of Tralee, just outside Tralee, and outside the town itself. And
ghost town.
It was, and that was the same throughout all. And can you imagine if there was a person living in Beaton or Kerry South, Kerry East or West, they were on their own, and they're probably the only person they saw, you know, coming to their gate every day was a postman, and you know, you could have all the, you know, ill effects of different things from being sick, but the biggest huge thing in our community is loneliness, and you know, and it's very, and a lot of people will be down over for the duration of COVID, and it's time for just to, and that's about checking in with yourself. What am I doing? Can I do something for that neighbour? No, some neighbours mightn't want the help, but the majority of them do, and just even to say hello, how are you? And that actually means a lot. And look, we are a great community here in Kerry. We are doing things, but there's always more can be done, and everyone wants their independence and wants their privacy, but it's amazing what you do if you go out and you try. And if you try and help somebody, and if they don't want that, fair play, but you can say to yourself, I did ask. And sometimes a relationship can be struck up by doing that, and I think there's huge reward in that, you know.
And like you said, it's the small things that might just be saying, how are you in the morning, that could make their day.
Oh yeah, and you know, Ian, and you know, I suppose there's a, when you go thinking about it, and we meet people there on the street, and you'd see a time, and these are very challenging times, Ian. Like, you look out, we're on about the cost of living. We don't know what the winter is going to bring to us, and people have financial worries. They likewise, they could be in illness, and if you meet somebody in the street today, and maybe they mightn't be in the best of form, you don't know what's going on with that person, you know. And some people have a mask in the sense that they might smile, Ian, how are you, but you don't know what's going on inside that person. Mind. So I suppose what that leads me to say about being judgmental, Ian, that we shouldn't be judgmental on anyone. And I suppose I've learned it going through life, and
it is.
And that's one thing I'm big into as well. I love flicking through, be it sites for quotes, and absolutely, there's some brilliant one. And I said, if you could learn one and build your life around. Now, it's not possible to do it every day, but some brilliant people, you know, I was reading one, it was a John Lennon had the one that if you're being honest, you may not make a lot of friends, but if you're being honest, you'll make the right friends.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are small things, and that's a huge thing that, look, in life, Ian, that there's not a man or a woman that hasn't made a mistake, and don't let anybody tell you otherwise. And I suppose the important thing from those mistakes, there's a fear when you make a mistake, but there's a bigger fear if you don't correct it. And I suppose that's I'm not here as a preacher this morning, but like I suppose you can say things that if you've experienced something in life, you could tell me things that I may never experience in my life. And I think if you can put all those together and take the best bits, that you could become a pretty decent person.
Definitely, 100%. Moving on there, before you went back as a carer and stuff, Radio Kerry in the commentary, and you see Terrace Talk there, you were doing it for a while. When did you start with Radio Kerry?
Yeah, that's very interesting, Ian, in the sense, when did I start? I suppose you're going back to 2004, and I'll always remember the great Leighton, what a voice he had as well. Joe Mahoney, our head of sport here, his dad was the late Seamus O'Mahony, and a great character, another great Tralee character. And I always remember Anne-Marie Kelly. She worked with the station back then, and she went off to, was it News Talk or Today FM after that. And I worked in a bar here in Tralee called Sean Oaks, and one of the most popular, I suppose, haunts for many people, and known well around the country, if not Europe and the world. And she used to come in there with her friends on the weekend, and she'd be chatting about radio, and she said, why don't you go off, and of course she knew my love of sport, and she said, Tim, why don't you go off and give me a letter, write a letter in your own handwriting, and I'll give it to Seamus in sport. And she did give it to Seamus, and Seamus wouldn't have known me at that time, but to be fair to him, he did respond, and at that time there was enough people there, you know, they had enough reporters, and he said, great to have your interest, and we'll see down the road. But one thing led to another then. And I live up here in Carsley, and Joe Mahoney was living just down the road from me. I still is living down the road. He's my very close neighbour, so seeing good friends as well, obviously.
And Liverpool fan.
And a Liverpool, yeah, that's the only downer for Joe. Yeah, he follows Liverpool. But I always remember one day, there's right outside my house, Ian, there's a stop sign, and I was outside. I don't know if I was outside painting or whatever, but I don't think I was painting, maybe I was just hosing down the wall. But Joe pulled up at the stop sign because there was traffic coming, but before Joe knew it, I was inside in his car. I opened the door into the piscine. I reckon he thought he was going to be mugged, and I said, hi Joe, I'm Tim. He knew I was Tim Ine, and I said, Joe, will you give me a shot at reporting on games? And I'd say the guy, he was on an errand going somewhere. He was either going to the shop, or I know Joe plays indoor soccer in the evenings and what have you. And he was just staring at me. Who is this guy after jumping? No, he knew I was his neighbour. And he said, oh, I'll see about that. And we actually said good luck there and then. And about 2 weeks later, he asked me, he said, Tim, there's a game on the weekend. He said, if you're interested, come in. And I think I'm going to sit you in with Gary O'Sullivan. And sure, the nerves started to sit in. Gary was doing a game up in Austin Stack Park. And I said, Gary, you didn't know who this guy that arrived anyway and started put on the headset and started. And that's when it kind of all started. And I was as nervous as hell. And I didn't let it tell you then. I was jumping into something. Be careful what you wish for, they say sometime, Ian. Yeah. And that's how it all started. And unfortunately, I went for Kerry Minor trials in. I went to Colash de Fordrick in Castle Island, and I'll always remember we kind of had a, I won't say a good run, but we played a lot of games, and it was at 1985, and between the school and whatever, I was sent forward for trials for the Kerry Minors, and I went to the final trial, and Mike Cronin, God rest him, he played with Shan, he was same age as my only day between us actually, he played with Castle Island, Robbie went on, then played with Shan and Munster, a speed merchant, and I remember it was North Kerry against South Kerry, and that day he was playing midfield, and he was chatting to me before the game, and he says, look, I'll be looking for you, you know, two fellas in the same day, I'll be looking for you now to put you on the ball. And every time I get it, well, to make a long story short, anyway, I was corner forward with the North Kerry side, and the other side of the field was Sean Ganey. Sean Ganey scored 2-6. I didn't even touch the ball, so that was the end of my stroll with the Kerry Miners. But the unfortunate thing, Ian, is that, you know, football is. I went into the kind of the hospitality. I said bars, and you can imagine during the summer. And I even was I was involved with St. like Knocknagoshal first, and then St. Pat's. But I train as hard as I could from say January to June. But come the games, I wasn't able to play because that was your bit, and it was no excuse. But I'm only just saying that I found it very difficult to get that time off when I was in hospitality. But look, I came to Tralee, then I joined St. Pat's here in Blenheville. And I'm not saying it because they're St. Pat's and Blenheville, but they were the most welcoming people. We had Kevin Boyle from Ballybunion. We had different players from right around the county. And you were made so welcome that, you know, they treated you if you lived there all your life. And it's a huge part. And, you know, I really weird, you know, of course, I was born and reared in Knocknagoshal. That's in the heart. But St. Pat's have a big place in my heart as well, because there's some great people, and they try to, at times they box above their weight because they're very limited, because they're always, I suppose, a challenge to get players between Cairns rallies and all, you know, it's open country here, and the school out there, they, you know, they rely on that to get players for the future. So I played with them for a while, and actually they were in Division 2 at the time, but again I wasn't able to give the time to football. Not saying that I was any good, but I'd love to be able to, you know, give it more of a commitment than I used to. But I ended up a few years ago with Joe Mahoney is in my brain to say Joe Costello, yeah. Managing the team out there, and we did well. We went from Division 3 to Division 2, and I'll always remember, I suppose our biggest run in the championship was as in trying to take a scalp. The year Glenbeg Glencar won the All-Ireland Junior. And they'll admit, even I'd often speak to Darren O'Sullivan now and the lads back there, and likewise Joe O'Connor, who was a former commentator as well with Radio Kerry. We gave them their biggest game. We took them to extra time, and, you know, things didn't go right in extra time, and they won by a point or so. But I was saying, maybe if we got over that day, it could have been. And that's how margins are so tight.
So
Ian.
Different.
And that I suppose that was my run of football. But with the commentating, I was very fortunate. I remember an All-Ireland final with Finnoog. We're in June 11. It was kind of the first time, or one of the last times rather, I suppose, it was played outside Croke Park, that they weren't lucky enough to go to Croke Park. But the late, great Liam Higgins, and when Liam Higgins commentated, no different to hearing the voice of Weeshie, the hairs would stand in the back of your neck. And I was asked again by Joe, I suppose. I was well into it at that stage. Would I sit in with Liam Higgins? And I always remember, I hadn't been doing interviews up to that, and Liam was doing the interview, so the commentary came to full time anyway. Finnoog won, and Liam Higgins, I always remember the late great Liam Higgins, he handed me the mic and I was sitting to his left, and he said, talk about people put in a spot, entertain the people of Kerry there for the next 8-9 minutes because I have to get interviews. And my heart stopped, Ian. I bluffed my way probably through it, and I started talking about the game, and I was asking myself after, what did I say in that game? But, you know, when I look back in it, it probably got me over a boundary. Absolutely. And, you know, I was so fortunate. Like, he was no different to Gary, Joe O'Connor. These guys could have done it any county. They could have done it at national level. And I was working with them. And that I suppose that instilled the love for football. And I hope that I'm continuing that on today. I was up in Tyrone then at a championship game. With the late Weeshie. It was the last game I did with Weeshie, I think. And I think we had to get a draw there the same day. And I always remember John Heffernan was doing sound for Radio Kerry. John was driving as well. And I sat into the back. And Weeshie always sat in the front of the car and take off the shoes and put the feet on the dash and stuff. But I'll always remember it, you know, to the day I die. He turned around and he said to me, I commented, I think for some reason Gary couldn't go. And he said, "You have arrived today," he said. And, you know, hearing that from Weeshie, he's a guy that, you know, had done it. He was an icon, an institution. You know, that has helped you along the way. And I'm not saying I'm any good at it, but I'd never try to be like anybody else, Ian. And that's one thing. I'd have met Mihalo Murray-Hertig. I love Mihalo here when I was a young fella, you know, in the 70s when he was talking about Kerry and Dublin games. And it was always on my mind, you know, even when I was walking home from school, I was commentating in my head about games. Yeah, and you saw, and most of the time I was talking about myself. And I, you know, that kind of stayed with me. And Mihalo Murray-Hertig said to me, "Tim, don't be like me, don't be trying to be." And I feel I'm not. I like, if a game is 5-16 to 2 points, I'll go after it. I call it high octane. And that's the way. And I can't help myself. And it's no different to the commentary that, you know, that we, I suppose, got a lot of hits out there that we did with Shawnee O'Shea's point, that something else, it's like an out-of-body experience, that when Shawnee O'Shea was, you know, on his approach, he's walking back, then his approach to kicking the ball, somebody else took over my mind that day, and I just went with the flow. And I never thought I'd look around and see Paddy Andrews behind me, and I'm telling him he's in a state of flux. And you've got to be careful, I guess, the wrong thing comes out. But look, I wear the heart in the sleeve, and look, Ambrose O'Donovan, what can I say? I've done it with Liam Brosnan, Billy O'Shea, and with Ambrose, and we go up north together. And I think for a commentary to work, you have to know the person beside you, and he knows what makes me click, and I know what makes him click. And I travel in the car, we share a room, great stories, and I think, and he probably wouldn't admit it, but we've built up an old friendship, and sometimes we debate, we argue, but I hope that kind of comes out for the listener, because you always feel, Ian, that, you know, when you're in Croke Park, or if you're outside in my van, or Knocknagosh, or behind in Sneem, the receptor is an ear, and you must bring that person with that ear to the stadium or the pitch you are. And that's what we try to do. And I would hope that we capture it. And look, I wouldn't get universal approval. Not everyone out there would like Tim Aynan as a commentator. Maybe not like Ambrose O'Donovan. But if they only knew, we live with the heart and the sleeve. And you know, and the one thing, and I know I'm going off probably in another tangent, and you'll probably edit this as after we're finished here today, Ian, but, you know, social media, I just want to mention that.
Definitely, because I was going to bring it up.
Yeah, social media, Ian, it's brilliant. It was brilliant now for the commentary, and it's got breaks and people, but there's another side of it. And look, I'll take credit. And that's why I admire anyone, Ian. I admire what you're doing at the minute. Not because you had an accident, Ian, but you put yourself behind a mic.
Yeah.
And you're an easy target, just like I'm an easy target.
Absolutely.
And even if you're a manager of a team, Ian, or a selector, or a guy that goes off singing on the local stage, that I admire people like that, because it'd be very easy to sit down in the audience and criticise that man.
Yeah.
But fair enough, you must be able to take it if you put yourself in that position. But this is what you have to remember, Ian, that person may have daughters, may have a wife, have a mother, have a father, have a brother, and it's very difficult. You might be able to take it, but can they take their brother or their sister or their daughter? Can they take them being criticised? So if anybody sits behind, you know, a keyboard and starts talking, think about the ratifications, the things that will happen out of it. Because, and we've often heard, and I'm probably repeating a lot of what other people say, but I've been at the receiving end, and other people, no different to anybody in media or anything. So just to be careful, I can take it. I couldn't take it at the start, Ian.
Yeah.
I found it very difficult. I remember I was doing a match in Austin Stacks one night, and there was a guy got my number, and even the course of the commentary, you know, started asking, first of all, what game you're at, and then something else, and it led to something else. And unfortunately, I gave him a bit of oxygen by saying, look, I don't need this.
Yeah.
And sort of not ignoring it at all. But there's some things we can't ignore, Ian. And that's just the appeal, that for anybody that decides to, you know, to say something about somebody in a negative fashion, it just doesn't hurt that person. It hurts other people as well. And that's the most difficult thing, I think.
Yeah.
In general, that just be, I suppose, be very careful before we comment on something. And it goes back, do you know what it goes back to? What we just started off with our interview, Ian, that it's about being judgmental. That, you know, if there's a situation out there on the street, Ian, we don't know what led to that. We don't know. All we see what's in that live moment, what happened. But there are several little tributaries from that. And, you know, how did it build up in the first place? So, you know, it's a hard thing to learn or educate yourself in. And none of us are perfect. And every one of us, and I said that earlier, every one of us make mistakes. But just to maybe the small little bit of a think first. But having said that, now, if I was doing commentary, I don't think a lot. I just go at it.
Yeah.
But I'm only just saying, you know, in those life situations, we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful.
Absolutely. And it's great to talk about that, to highlight it. The likes of watching now, you've been doing commentary for a while, and from when you started until now, what's it like watching players like David Clifford evolve from, say, minor, under 21, up as far as senior now? Like, yeah. David Clifford, I'm going to use him as an example because the man is just on a different level altogether. What's it like watching talents like him evolve?
Yeah, it's amazing. Look, we've been fortunate in Kerry for a start, Ian, you know, that Mikey Sheehy could make a ball talk to you going back. And I grew up, you know, adoring him in the 70s. And we're fortunate enough then Morris Fitz, you know, coming on to Kerry team with some transition. He was absolutely outstanding. And then we had the Gooch, brilliant again, the Croaks man. But David Clifford, yeah, look, I did the minors from 2004. And every year we seem to go out of the quarterfinal. We do well in Munster and go out. And suddenly this, I've heard about this young fella behind that played with St. Brendan's. I was mad to see him. And we saw what he did in the Hogan Cup, you know, that goal. You know,
unreal
that day that St. Brendan's won, and then, you know, scoring 4-4 in an All Ireland final, that an exceptional talent. But, you know, I had him on Terrace Talk when all the talk was about David Clifford going down under. You know, you can see how the scouts would be looking for him because he has the physique, Ian, and, you know, he's a genius. He's probably made for that game as well. And you were always afraid. And the only thing I would say, I'd know Mark O'Connor pretty well as well, because he's from Dingle, very, you know, wouldn't be mill miles away from where my wife lives. And, you know, I know the lifestyle that Mark has down there, and he'd find it very difficult because he's playing at the highest level with Geelong. You were always afraid that David Clifford would go the same, and I'd love to have Mark O'Connor the next day on the Kerry pan. He'd be brilliant as well. But David Clifford, to see him develop as a player, and that night, I always remember that night in Terrace Talk, I think it's up in some website, that he said he never dreamed of playing Australian rules, but he did dream of playing with Kerry. And
fair play.
That's fair. And he said that at a very kind of, you know, he was 18 years of age. And sure, he walked on the Kerry team then under Eamon Fitzmaurice. And when you think about it, he could be his fourth All-Star, is it this year? What he did for a guy so young. But to see his. And, you know, I was looking out the window one night above in Ossetag. We had a press night up there before one of the games. And I was looking out and watching David Clifford. And he was taking shots from the corner flag, you know, in line with the goal. And he was trying to do a banana kick. And I'd say for the first 7 or 8, they didn't go. I think Darren Minan was up with him there the same night. But he still persisted. No, he didn't get it over. And he'll kill me for saying that. But he hit the post. But I said, if that's your mentality to keep doing that. And plus, as a person as well, he's beyond his years when he's speaking.
Absolutely.
As well. And we're just so, so fortunate. We've probably have a player of a lifetime. And I just hope he is the game of his life again this coming Sunday. And there's people up the country that'll want to, you know, from other counties, that'll want to go to Croke Park to watch him, Ian. And to see players like that, Shawnee O'Shea develop in the same way as well. And that winning mentality. And for the older group of players that, you know, may not have had the success or that want more success, like the Paul Murphys, the David Mourns, the Paul Ganeys, Stephen O'Brien's from 20 to 14, to have this guy coming on board, you'll say, I'm going to stay on another year because I might win something. And for him as a player as well, you don't want him to be one of the great players that doesn't win in All-Ireland, like which was for a while. Morris Fitzgerald had that problem because he came on in 87 and he had to win.
Joe Canning in the hurling as well.
Absolutely. And you'd say it's, you know, and in Kerry, Ian, I don't know, you probably know how passionate we are about it, but if you win in All-Ireland in Kerry, if you're an All-Ireland medal holder, you're a legend forever.
Ever, yeah.
Because you're probably on the top county and you're an elite group. And I don't mean fellas to get carried away with themselves, yeah. But you, people adore you for bringing that glory to Kerry. And that's why I want the likes of the David Cliffords. I want him to win an All-Ireland medal, because a man of his ability, and no different to the rest of the players as well. But the game has evolved, Ian, as you see it. They're difficult to win. It's like semi-pro now, and they give up their lives. Their lives are on hold. And for to win a medal for their county, and it's absolutely brilliant, you know.
Unreal. And even for young people coming up. All through up, say, like Championship and even the league and stuff, we see in club grounds, say, whether it be in Fossar, Ferenforth or Sparkrokes and stuff, we see all through kind of the winter and stuff, all the rainy nights, we go up to watch our team play and at club level, and then it gets comes into the summer, into June and stuff, and the weather kind of gets better. The fans that do all that travelling stay out in the rain watching their team perform at club level until they get into the Championship. What do you think the Kerry fans, because I think the Kerry fans are one of the most, I suppose, not passionate. Well, you could say passionate. What do you think from travelling up and down to Croke Park, the Kerry fans, what do they represent for the football team and their dedication to keep following them?
Yeah, you know, I suppose the DNA, it's no different to Kilkenny winning the hurling the weekend, that Kerry, our, I suppose, a huge part of our identity is Gaelic football, is, you know, and our hurlers have done so
yeah.
Brilliantly, you know, and they're growing all the time. But football is the big game in the kingdom. And you know, over the years that, you know, obviously we guys that went off and they played rugby, they played soccer and everything, but, you know, football in the county has held its own, and you can beat tradition. And I suppose it's tradition they're carrying with them. And you mentioned wet nights, and it's like our reward. I could go out to Finnoog on a rainy Sunday, and our reward is going up the Hogan Stand and commentating to the people of Kerry and throughout the world, giving them the story. And it's the same for the footballers and even the fans. Their reward for going to those games is Kerry in an All-Ireland final. And you can feel it. Like, I don't know, and I'm sure, because I know you're a passionate Kerry man and a passionate, other teams that you follow, but that feeling is like the butterflies in my stomach for...
It's like the water.
Yeah, and there's a different feeling in my tummy today than last week, in the sense that, my God, we're in an All-Ireland final. And that legacy is going to continue. And when I see young fellas and young boys, young girls going to game, I said, our future is going to be safe if they can witness the genius of David Clifford, Shawnee O'Shea, all those other players, Dermot O'Connor, too numerous to mention, that they'll carry that on, and the future of Kerry football. And the big thing about the GAA, Ian, is that it's in every parish in Ireland. And it's, we said about the community base at the start, that they're if you know, if you have any challenge, that the GAA family is there for you. But there's also a healthy rivalry, and you need that to survive and to get to the next level as well. So, you know, we'll all say our own supporters are the most amazing supporters in the world, but like, if Kerry win, they're in Dini Street, and they'll be in Killarney hopefully as well next Monday. That feeling of the bus going down Dini Street and the flags, and this is Kerry, nobody can take that away from us.
No.
And nobody can take away our past from us. And you know, we'll all say, look, we love our county, but it's the most beautiful county in Ireland. But we have something special as well, and I suppose our blood is made up of green and gold, and we'll take that to the grave, you know.
Definitely. Before we finish up, one thing that I always, whenever I'm watching a Kerry game on RT, like the semi final, I wasn't able to go up to it, but I always pause the telly and mute it and listen to yourself and Ambrose on the radio. One thing that you always kind of go to every time is, and like we just said about the fans, you always kind of include people that are abroad, whether it be in Australia, like you said there for Shawnee Shays, whether you're in Australia or New York or anything. Do you think that's important, because to include them, and even elderly people at home by themselves listening to the game, do you think it's important to mention people abroad? because we are all one at the end of the day.
Oh, absolutely, Ian. And, you know, I've friends in America, they text me before the game, they'll be listening to the commentary. They're relying on us. And it's the link. I think at that particular moment, if we do a good job, a pretty good job, myself and Ambrose and Billy and Liam Brosnan and the rest, we can bring them to this. We can take them from their sitting room in downtown New York to Crow Park for that hour and a half. And there's guys that, there was a woman last week, she was on about that, because that last minute she turned off the television, she was watching it, and she said, if it's this close, what are the boys at on the radio? So she turned it on, and the next thing, you know, I think she did a bit of cooking. That was burnt because she was taken in by the radio. And even, you know, I suppose that was a special moment because a friend of mine, he had to leave the house. He was going collecting a child of his from somewhere. And he thought, I think Killian Spillane spilled the ball, or we spilled the ball. And he thought the Dublin would go up the other end and score the winner. And he said, oh no, I'm turning it off. So he went into the car and he said, I'll turn on the radio now and the boys will be crying on the radio. But he turned on the radio and it was a free for care. And he said he ended up crying in the car. Not because of us, but purely because that moment he wanted Kerry to go over the line. And I'm sure the people in New York, New Zealand, Sydney in Australia and everywhere, that's their moment and that's their identity. And when you see all those at the majors and down in Auckland, you'll see a Kerry jersey popping up everywhere. And even the other counties now are beginning to recognise, look, there's only one jersey we're looking for here, is the green and gold. And Ian, when I talk about, I love Kerry. I love Kerry football. I do. I can be critical of Kerry football. I can be vocal. I'm not a yes man, and I don't ever intend to be, because you have to have your opinion, but it has to be in a balanced way. But I think our traditional, the great people of the past, we talk about Paddy Bawn and it's folklore, Paddy Bawn in Dingle, the great players down through the years, and the great manager, Mick O'Dwyer, Mick O'Connell, the man from Valencia, supposed to be one of the greatest players of all time. And they handed down the baton to each person, down along, and that there's a huge responsibility in of wearing the green and gold. If you put on a green and gold jersey, you're representing tradition. You're not just representing your club and your county, because we have so many All-Irelands and we want to add to that. And it's our hunger and our desire. And sure, when you see a young fella there of 3 or 4 years of age and he had to solo a ball, sure, his dream is to be the David Clifford in years to come. And that's the passion. And I suppose, look, we're all made up of that passion. I'm so fortunate that Ambrose O'Donovan is 1985. When I was growing up, Ian, I never thought that I'd be commentating with the centenary captain. Not because he was centenary captain, but he's a guy from Guineaghuilla, very close to the Cork border. So that Kerry belief and that Kerry tradition was built in. And you can see it. Ambrose's face goes red if things are going against him. And that passion, you can't buy that. And I'm so fortunate to be, I suppose, living beside it for that hour and a half, and that's what makes it for me. And let's hope we. And I suppose I'm always being slagged off from Gary O'Sullivan. He commentated in the 24 final where they won. I did the 2019 one where we drew and then were beaten, unfortunately, in the replay. I'm as hungry for this All Ireland as Seanie O'Shea or David Clifford. I want us to win. To say that I have realised something, I've realised a dream that I've commentated a win in All Ireland. But that's hope as well. And anything can go belly up in a game, but I'd hope that Kerry are in a good place.
Absolutely. And I think on that note, we'll finish it up, and all the best to the lads on Sunday, and to all the travelling fans, and to yourself and Ambrose. Tim, you're an absolute gent, and thanks a million for coming in.
It was my absolute privilege. You phoned me, and I'm not about to tell you my story, Ian, but I have a huge respect for you. You're a young man. You have a brilliant life ahead of you, and what you've achieved so far, none of us will achieve it in our lifetime.
Brilliant. Thanks a million. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Now, unfortunately, that's all we have time for tonight. I hope you all enjoyed the show, and I really appreciate you tuning in as always. Thanks a million to Tim again for coming in today, and I really enjoyed our chat. Hopefully he'll bring us some good luck when he's commentating above in Croke Park on Sunday. If you have any questions or requests for next week's show, you can get in contact with me through my Instagram, ianoconnell321, or through my email address, ioconnell@radiokerry.ie. I hope you're all having a great week so far. Stay tuned in to Radio Kerry, because Brian Priestley is up next with That's Jazz. Before we go, I want to wish all of the Kerry footballers the best on Sunday. It's been too long coming and hopefully we'll be able to bring Sam home this time. I hope you're all having a great week, as I said, and enjoy the match Sunday wherever you are. If you're sitting on your couch at home above on Hill 16, well, I suppose you might want to stay out of there. Maybe go to the other end during the queues at Kerhogan or something. If you're over in Bali, Indonesia, Australia, New Zealand, England, or if you're just sitting at home like I said and roaring at the TV like I probably will be above in Croke Park, I'll be back the same time next Wednesday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Until then, stay safe and mind yourself.